program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. We're going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, that we've been reading parts of for the last little bit. This is about people who have inspired other people to write songs. So let's start with Sundown. Gordon Lightfoot, 1974. Lightfoot says, I was living with a woman named Kathy. Late one afternoon in July, Kathy said she was going into town for a night with her girlfriends. I wasn't happy about that. After she left, I watched the sunset slowly out back. I felt tremendously jealous. Once the ball of orange disappeared behind the hills, I grabbed my Gibson 12-string guitar and began writing a song. As I wrote, I couldn't help imagining that Kathy was chatting up guys. The sunset was so beautiful that evening, it made me mellow and aware of what I was feeling, and how saving the relationship was pretty much impossible. But I was happy the relationship was winding down. You can hear my two different emotions in the song, a sense of blues and relief. Next is Hello, It's Me, Todd Rundgren, 1973. Rundgren says, Senior year in high school, I had a crush on a girl named Linda. One day, a friend dropped us off at Linda's house. Her father hated me on sight. He turned the garden hose on me. Long hair on a guy was a red flag for parents. A day or two later, Linda told me she was forbidden to see me. That Christmas, I wanted to make a gesture to win her back. I saved up and bought her a pantsuit. When I went to her house, the only person there was her sister, who invited me in. When I left, I realized I had to stop this. Writing my song, I decided to make the lyrics about our breakup. But instead of being the victim, I turned the song story around so I was breaking up with her. This gave me a little power and allowed me to imagine how I might have done things differently over the phone. And finally, Carrie, Joni Mitchell, 1971. Mitchell, my friend Penelope and I went to see what Matala, a fishing village on Crete, was all about. Most of the hippies there slept in caves carved into a cliff. Penelope and I walked down to the beach. An explosion went off behind us. I turned around just in time to see this guy with a red beard blowing through the door of a cafe. He was wearing a white turban, white Nehru shirt, and white cotton pants. I said to Penelope, "What an entrance. I have to meet this guy." He was American and a cook at one of the cafes. Apparently, when he had lit the stove, it blew him out the door. That's how Carrie Raddatz entered my life. Kaboom! Soon I moved into one of the caves. I enjoyed Carrie's company and his audacity. I wrote Carrie as a birthday present. As for the extra E, that was a misspelling on my part. Now, also from the magazine, let's look at this article under the heading of Real People. It's about a grandmother, a grandson, and a grand adventure. It started out simply, one camping trip, but soon Brad and Joy Ryan were on the tour of a lifetime. Brad Ryan, in 2010, my grandmother and I went for a hike near her home, and she casually mentioned that she regretted not seeing more of the great outdoors in her life. She had never seen the mountains. She had married my grandfather at age 18 and settled down to raise a family. I realized she had been looking at the same Ohio view for over six decades. Joy. My late husband, Bob, and I never went on any big trips, like to California. We never did anything like that. We worked most of our lives, and after we retired, we'd take winter road trips down to Lake Okeechobee in Florida, because Bob loved to fish for perch, but that's the furthest we ever went. Brad. My very first memories of Grandma Joy are at a stream in a state park a few miles from our hometown. I had this fascination with the creepy, crawly natural world, and she was the grown-up who would take her shoes off and get in the stream and help me catch crawdads and frogs and minnows. So when she told me that she wanted to see more of the outdoors in her life, it really stuck with me. In 2015, I was planning a camping trip, and I asked her if she wanted to join me. Joy. He said we were going to stay in a tent, and I had never done that. So I said, okay. I packed my suitcase, and away we went. Brad. We drove 7 hours to Great Smoky Mountains in National Park and got to the campground around 2 a.m. in the pouring down rain. She held the umbrella as I put the tent together and blew up the air mattress. That first night, she fell off the mattress, but she did so laughing. Joy. Don't worry about the small stuff. That's my philosophy. If you can't stay on the mattress, stay on the ground. That's what I did. Brad. We found out how much we needed each other and this kind of adventure in our lives, and we decided to visit all 63 national parks. Joy. Traveling to the different parks, we talked about what we're seeing, but we also talk about personal stuff. Brad. We've been spending so many hours driving together that she's been able to give me her wisdom and show me what resiliency really looks like. Joy. Everybody has hardships. I lost my husband to cancer in 1994 and one of my 3 sons to cancer in 2004. But in 2005, my youngest son died of an overdose. Brad's father is my only surviving child. Traveling with Brad has changed my outlook. I've realized that there isn't much difference between the old and the young. We have a lot of the same ideas and the same thoughts. Brad. And I've learned that I have to do the physically challenging things I love while I still have good knees. But I've also learned I don't need to be depressed about getting older, because I'm one of the very few people in the world who can say that I have been whitewater rafting in Class 3 rapids with a 91-year-old woman. My grandmother has shown me that getting older can look however you want it to look, if you're willing to show up and try. Joy. You need to be optimistic about everything. Don't be down in the dumps. If you have the strength to get out of bed, get up and enjoy it. Brad. You might not be able to climb a mountain like she did at 85, but that doesn't mean there aren't a million things you can do. Joy. We're planning to visit our final park in American Samoa in April. I'm looking forward to going, but it will be kind of sad, too. It's been a wonderful journey. And this article was as told to Randy Mazzella. Brad Ryan, 41, is an Ohio veterinarian who consults with vet hospitals. Joy Ryan, 92, is a retired grocery clerk who lives in Duncan Falls, Ohio. Now from AARP, the Bulletin, your money, live well for less. That's the heading here. Protect yourself from dangerous products. This is by Lisa Lee Freeman. Many recalls fall under the radar. Here's how to stay on top of them. Product recalls can be a matter of life and death, but only 6% of Americans respond to them. In 2019, 51,000 deaths were associated with unsafe consumer products, reports the government's Consumer Product Safety Commission, CPSC. Last year saw a record number of recalls, which aren't issued lightly. Many manufacturers resist recalling potentially dangerous goods. Unsafe products can burn, poison, maim, or electrocute you. The day I started researching this column, 10 new recalls were listed on CPSC.gov, one of the 6 federal sites that post them. One was for a portable charger that could explode. Another was for toxic sneakers. Good news. Recall remedies are free. Bad news, you won't hear about the vast majority of recalls. Given their volume and the lack of central listing, it's hard to keep track, but these tips can help protect you and your family. Register your product. Yes, fill out those cards tucked in product packaging or register on the manufacturer's websites so that you can get recall notices. You can skip any questions on the form about age and income. Get alerts. Recalls.gov links to government offices that email about recalls, including the CPSC, which regulates household items such as appliances and furniture. The National Highway Safety Administration, NHTSA, which lists vehicle recalls. The Department of Agriculture, which regulates meat, poultry, and eggs. And the Food and Drug Administration, which regulates all other foods, cosmetics, drugs, and other health products. Retailers and grocers may also post recalled goods. Research secondhand buys to find out whether that thrift store find has been recalled. Visit recalls.gov/search.html. Also, check that database if you buy from an unknown seller online, including any third-party vendors on big retail sites like Amazon or Walmart. Check car recalls regularly. Don't assume you'll get a notice in the mail, warns CheckToProtect.org, a National Safety Council program that lists dealers for recall repairs. You can also check for recalls on the NHTSA site at nhtsa.gov/recalls. Report problems. If you think something of yours is unsafe, raise your voice on sites like saferproducts.gov, foodsafety.gov, or nhtsa.gov. It's really important to report incidents, said William Wallace, Associate Director of Safety Policy at Consumer Reports. That's one of the top reasons recalls happen. Fix it or get rid of it. If you have a recalled product, stop using it and contact the manufacturer. Instead of sending you a replacement, it may send you a repair kit. If you need to dispose of a product, make sure other people, including children, cannot access it. Again, this was by Lisa Lee Freeman, a journalist specializing in shopping and saving strategies. She was founder and editor-in-chief of ShopSmart magazine from Consumer Reports. Now we have 99 ways to save food shopping. Watch for shrinkflation. To counterbalance rising costs, many food manufacturers reduce package sizes but charge the same amount, a practice known as shrinkflation, says Edgar Dworsky, founder of ConsumerWorld.org. Compare the unit prices of like products to get an honest read on which provides the most value. Stock your freezer with fruits and veggies. Prices for frozen produce often are more stable than for their fresh versions. Check the circulars or your store's loyalty app for sales in the freezer aisle, then buy in bulk. It's just as healthy. Producers freeze vegetables and fruits at peak freshness, locking in nutrients. Scoop your own rice and beans. Bulk bins are popular in food stores. Use them. You could pay less for every ounce of beans, grains, and rice that you scoop into a bag on your own. Put your smartphone to use. Join the loyalty programs and download the apps of grocery stores you frequent. Shoppers who activate discounts on the app could save 2 to 3 times as much on sale items, says the website Mouseprint. Other helpful apps include Basket, which lets you compare prices on many items. Flip, which curates digital circulars for grocery stores, and Supercook, which helps you create recipes based on ingredients you have on hand. Use a cashback credit card. Some credit cards offer extra reward savings on groceries. Three to consider are the American Express Blue Cash Preferred Card, which pays 6% cash back on supermarket purchases up to $6,000 per year. Then there's the Chase Freedom Unlimited card, which earns back 5% on groceries, up to $12,000 spent in the first year. And the Amazon Prime Rewards Visa Signature Card, with which Amazon Prime members can get 5% back with no limit at Whole Foods and on Amazon Fresh orders. Now, under the heading of Your Money, Medicare Made Easy, let's look at Medicare after a public sector career. Retired government workers have unique choices to make. Some of the most common questions we receive for this column come from government employees confused about how their retiree health care benefits will fit in with Medicare coverage. Here are the basics. Use this as a jumping-off point to explore your specific needs. Federal employees. The Federal Employees Health Benefits, FEHB, program provides for about 8 million federal civilian employees, retirees, and their families, making it the world's largest employer-sponsored group health insurance program. Generally, if you've worked for the federal government for at least 5 years, you can continue getting health benefits when you retire. The typical approach would be to sign up as soon as you're eligible for Medicare Part A, which covers hospital services, and then upon retiring for Part B, which covers doctor visits, diagnostic tests, and other outpatient care. Part A is free. The standard Part B premium this year is $164.90 per month. Then you can sign up for an FEHB retiree plan, of which there are many. These plans all include prescription drug coverage, but you still may want to check out Medicare Part D prescription drug plans to see if those work better for you. Some of the plans serve as secondary payers to original Medicare, covering some services Medicare does not and paying for many Medicare out-of-pocket costs, such as copays and deductibles. Office of Personnel Management officials say their retiree plans are generally more robust than private Medigap plans, though compare your choices to verify that. Other FEHB plans offer a Medicare Advantage arrangement. Plans vary widely in price. Some of the more expensive plans might include health coverage for family members not in Medicare. As a federal retiree, you also can enroll or stay enrolled in the Federal Employment Dental and Vision Insurance Program, FEDVIP, as long as you retired on an immediate annuity. Unlike FEHB health benefits, there is no five-year requirement. Military. If you're a military retiree eligible for Medicare, there are two ways to get health benefits linked to your duty. One is TRICARE for Life, TFL, part of TRICARE, the main insurance program for active duty and retired service members and their families. The other is through the Department of Veterans Affairs, TRICARE for Life. If you are retired from the military and on TFL, you must enroll in Medicare Parts A and B when you become eligible. Medicare then serves as your primary insurance and TFL serves as your supplement policy. TFL includes a pharmacy program, so you don't have to enroll in a private Part D plan. If you decide later to enroll in one, you won't be subject to any late enrollment penalties. If you are 65 or older and an active duty service member or a family member of someone on active duty and are enrolled in TRICARE, you can delay signing up for Medicare Part B without penalty for as long as you or the service member and your family is on active duty. If you want to enroll in Medicare to supplement your military insurance when you are still on active duty, Medicare will become your secondary payer and may pick up costs that TRICARE doesn't. Veterans Affairs. If you're a Medicare-eligible veteran getting health care through a VA facility, your situation is much different from that of someone on TRICARE for Life. You can get VA coverage and enroll in Medicare, but the two programs do not work together. VA coverage is available only in VA health care facilities or through the VA's community care program. Medicare doesn't pay for any VA treatment. So, if you enroll in Medicare, you can choose to get care from any doctor or hospital that takes Medicare, or you can get care through the VA's health benefits package. Some big pluses of the VA system: unlike with Medicare, you may be eligible to receive coverage for hearing aids and dental care, and VA drug coverage is inexpensive. You pay no monthly premiums, and copays are small, though you'll need to use a VA pharmacy. Note that if you don't sign up for Medicare Part B when you're first eligible, you'll be subject to a late enrollment penalty for life. If, however, you ever switch your drug coverage from the VA to Part D, you can do so without paying a late enrollment penalty. And finally, state and local government workers. There's no single set of health insurance guidelines if you're one of the millions who have worked for state, county, or local governments. What's most likely is that you'll have to sign up for Medicare, and your union, state, or municipal plan will act as a supplement to Medicare coverage, says Ann Karish, a senior program manager at the National Council on Aging. Some plans will pay for part or all of a retiree's Part B premium, and some employers and unions have begun offering a version of a Medicare Advantage plan. Don't make assumptions. Check with your employer's HR office or with benefits officials at your labor union to determine your best health coverage options, Karish says. And you can send your questions about Medicare to medicare@aarp.org. Due to the volume of inquiries, we can't answer every question. Now let's look at Fraud Watch. The check is not in the mail. Why thieves want your checks and how you could stop them. Just hours after leaving a $445 check to his insurance company in his mailbox, Mark McPherson got a shocking call from his bank. A thief had stolen the check, then washed and rewritten it for $2,498. The guy who tried to cash it told the teller he had done electrical work for me, says McPherson, 59, who owns a limousine business in Nashville, Tennessee. He even wrote, "Great job," on the memo line. The culprit fled when the bank refused to pay. But fraud fighters warn that this crime, called check washing, is on the rise across the U.S., with losses ranging from a few hundred to tens of thousands of dollars. It is low tech, but that is actually the appeal, says Frank McKenna, chief strategist for the San Diego-based fraud detection company, Point Predictive. Almost anyone can do it. Here's how it works. Crooks steal checks left in mailboxes or remove mail deposited in U.S. Postal Service collection boxes by using keys stolen from mail carriers or by fishing them out with string and something sticky, like rodent glue traps or a glue-covered bottle. Using cheap chemicals like bleach or acetone, usually bought as nail polish remover, they erase the payee name and amount, leaving the signature intact. After drawing, checks are rewritten for more money and deposited or cashed at banks, check cashing businesses, or stores that offer check cashing services, McPherson says. His washed check looked perfect. They took every bit of ink out except my signature, he notes. Check washing is soaring because criminals who stole government stimulus checks and unemployment checks during the pandemic are now looking for new sources of income, McKenna says. The other reason is that during the COVID pandemic, the Postal Service cut back on the postal police budgets, he adds. As a result, mail theft and theft of checks in the mail skyrocketed. Jim Kaiser, 60, of Merrick, New York, had a $235 check for P.O. box fees washed, rewritten for $9,001.20, and cashed over a November weekend in 2022. Thieves used a stolen key to clean out the mail collection box outside his local post office, where Kaiser had left the check on a Saturday evening. It was cashed the next day. This all happened in 24 hours, the blink of an eye, he says. When his bank contacted him on Monday, Kaiser quickly closed the account. A washed check could lead to bigger problems, said David Maiman, director of the Evidence-Based Cybersecurity Research Group at Georgia State University. His team, which monitors criminal activities online, has found that some criminals sell washed checks to other criminals for $250 to $600 each. They may also supply buyers with account holders' social security numbers and the size of their bank balances, so you know how much money you can withdraw, Maiman says. Bank account and routing numbers may be used to withdraw even more money electronically. Criminals are also using personal identification information on checks as they take out loans, open bank accounts, and set up lines of credit in a victim's name, he adds. It used to be a very simple crime. Now it's this beast. How about ask the fraud team? My sister wants to work from home. She was contacted by a prospective employer, but the interview was held on an unfamiliar app called Telegram, and they asked for her social security number prior to offering her the job. Do you think it's legit? Probably not. Lots of employment scams have emerged over the past few years. Tell your sister to stop communicating with them and to delete any apps they asked her to download. Telegram is an app that many criminals use because it's encrypted and difficult to monitor. Legitimate employers will only require a Social Security number for background checks and or to verify identity after the job has been offered and accepted. My mom just downloaded a private meeting app to chat with someone she met on a gaming site. I'm glad she's making friends, but isn't this risky? This sounds very risky to me. We've heard from many people on the AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline who have met criminals on popular and seemingly innocent online gaming apps. Any app with a social component should have unsavory people lurking, or could have, looking for a target. Without sounding judgmental, ask her questions and remind her never, never to give money or personal information to anyone she meets online. Now, there's another sidebar article with this article, Six Ways to Foil Check Washers, which I will get to next time. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.